About 2 years before my mother died and about 7 years after I'd finished my doctorate at the University of Oklahoma, I was down visiting her. Just the two of us were there. And she said, you know, your Uncle Claude, who was the oldest of the Logsdon family there, wanted us to put you into a home for mentally retarded children. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, why? She said, you wouldn't talk. I wouldn't talk. I don't know how to shut up now. No, you wouldn't talk. And about 5 years ago in the Tulsa World, there was an article about late-talking children. They're now doing a tremendous amount of research, and they know that late-talking children come from musical families and often are musically talented. And in the past years, many have been placed into homes for mentally retarded children. And that explained many things to me. I was never encouraged musically. Everyone else in the family, I wanted to take piano lessons. And up the road and up a hill, the Lucas family had this big old-time rock house. It's now been torn down, but she was a piano teacher, and my sister took piano up there, so I went up by myself and said, I'm going to take piano, second grade. She had a sister who was a bit detached up in the head, and she loved dogs, which means she had a good soul. She always picked up stray dogs, and she'd lead them. You'd see her walking all over Ada with three or four dogs on leashes. I went up one time after about the fourth or fifth lesson, and those dogs came out after me, and I remember rolling down that hill screaming like mad with those dogs jumping all over me. I never went back for a piano lesson. And I guess I might have been sixth grade, seventh, I don't know, somewhere in there. My daddy had helped a traveling stove salesman from Muskogee who had been in a wreck. My daddy had taken care, and in turn, the family had become sort of family with us. They came down every year and visited out of appreciation for my mother and father. And I can hear him. He was outside the little door area, and he said, well, why isn't Guy William in there playing? And I can hear my daddy say, oh, he has no talent. And I lived with that no talent. Wanted to play the guitar. You're not smart enough to learn to play the guitar. So my brother had a guitar, and every day in high school, after school, when others were doing homework, John was working at the furniture store making money, I'd go home and I taught myself to play the guitar. So my guitar playing is strictly self-taught. As well as I had the privilege of knowing Eldon Shamblin, Tommy Alsop, and others, and I learned by watching. So I was the youngest, and I tell people, if you know Western European folklore, you look at some of the children's stories, the youngest in every family is always considered to be the dumbest. Well, I was the youngest, and I also had this he wouldn't talk, and that he should have been in a home, but they wouldn't do it. And musically, in any Western band or any band in those days, the least talented always played the bass fiddle. So they bought me a K bass fiddle. And I learned to play the bass fiddle. I was about 13. Gene, Bobby, my brother, and I, and then three others. We call ourselves the Western Seven. Or I should have said they called themselves the Western Seven because I was just this bass player back here. And I'd watch my sister's hand. I knew what key she was playing by watching her on the piano. And I learned to play the bass fiddle by watching my sister's left hand. This was Prohibition days. Oklahoma was Prohibition till 1960. And you bought through a bootlegger or made your own, whatever, but these usually in town bought it from a bootlegger. And I should point out that the bootleggers in many communities were the charitable groups. In Ada, the primary bootlegger is one who bought glasses, shoes, and took care of kids in school who needed help. But anyway, I played the bass fiddle, and we played at the American Legion Hut on North Broadway. Of course, I do drink. But in those days, I said, man, you'll never see me take a drink because of things I saw. A 13, 14-year-old. When we'd take a break, they all go out to their cars, open the trunk, drink a lot of booze, come back in, and quite often that's where the fight started. But one night, I'm up there standing playing the bass, and a man fell out on the floor off of a chair. And a woman got up, took her shoe off, and hit him in the head half a dozen, I mean just knocked the mortal fool out of him with the heel of her shoe. Put it on, went to the women's room. He gets up, sits down. She came back out, looked at him, took her shoe off, hit him in the head four or five more times, put her shoe on, and they got up and danced. I'm not smart enough to make this up. I'm telling you, I saw it happen. I said, man, you'll never see me drink. I was 26 before I took a drink, and I shouldn't have done it then. But anyway, that was the musical background.
Did your father see you before he died in music?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. In fact, he bought a guitar and gave to me. And when I graduated from college, he gave me a tape recorder because he knew I wanted to go out and collect. He had changed his attitude. But again, late talking children. I tell the story because there are many people today who have late talking children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and they're doing a tremendous amount of research into late talking children.